It is well with your soul today, and that's a question. Is it well with your soul? It is with mine today, but it was not when I was a teenager. As a matter of fact, attending 3 high schools in 2 different states seemed like an act of cruelty to me when I was a teenager. And yet, now, looking back, I realize that what seemed like a mistake was the kind, loving providence of God that He used to get my attention. And He, at the same time, was separating me from bad company, because bad company corrupts good morals. Well, as a teenager, I had a lot of bad company, and I was developing bad morals. And the Lord just kept moving our family. 3 high schools in 2 different states. And it was actually during my senior year that my family moved nearby to Butler County, not too far from Greene County. And it was because of that that my path came to Cedarville University. And it was there that the Lord gripped my heart and it became well with my soul while I was a student there. And as I look back now, as I look back, what appeared to be a mistake was actually the will of God, working for my good, working for His glory. And so maybe there is something true about the old saying, hindsight is 20/20. Well, what circumstance in your life today do you bring that seems like a mistake? What is it? And you know, from time to time, we all struggle to trust God in the midst of our messes. And you may feel today as if God is absent or His will is one big mistake. But today's text will tell us He is constantly and actively working in every itty-bitty detail of our lives according to His perfect will. And so we're going to discover His perfect will for our lives today. And that's the question that many are asking, right? What is the will of God? But this text of Scripture helps us understand. And you can find it in your Bible in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, where we find these familiar words that likely you've heard many times. And we know, in verse 28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. And those whom He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Will you bow your heads? Will you bow your heads and as we approach the throne of grace, I confess to having, Father, an anxious heart as I handle your word this morning. The text here we've heard many times, O Lord. But my fear is that we'll walk away not understanding the truth that is here, that we'll be sidetracked by false ideas that we've heard again and again, and that we might be confused by the concepts and the big words that are used in the text of Scripture. But I ask that you will remind us that we're being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Teach us this truth. Assure us of your goodness to finish the work that you've started in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So here we are. Let's understand that God is up to something good for us and for His glory, and it starts The text starts by talking about the Lord's good work. And you can see it in verses 28 and the start of 29 when it says, "And we know that all things," and see, already I'm getting confused because I've memorized some other translations and you have too, but let me start again. "And we know that for those who love God," here we go, "all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined." By the way, did you notice the phrase, "and we know"? Maybe we ought to just pause and say, can you confidently say you know that God is the master crafter of you and every detail of your life? Can you confidently say that you know that? See, God, the master crafter, do you understand that He made you? He created you in His image, and He has a plan for you. Yes, He knows our first day, and He's established our last, and everything in between, June 22nd, 1965, all the way to, I don't know what's on the other end of that, by the way, but everything in between, the day of our birth and the day of our passing, He is working. The scriptures say we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now let's back up and let's say, okay, there's some confusion here about verse 28. That we've heard so many times before. But let's not be confused thinking that life's circumstances are random acts of chance. And if I'm lucky, all will go well. That's not how it is. That's a false idea. And even the confusion here in the text of Scripture, there's a little bit of differences in the translation. One translation says, "all things work together for good." You might read that and think it's just by chance all things work together for good. And even if you look at your ESV translation, it has a little footnote that helps us better understand that actually other manuscripts say God works all things for the good. For the good. It's God that's working. It's not by chance. It's not by chance. So let's avoid that error of thinking that life's circumstances are just random acts of chance. You see, with God, there are no coincidences. The circumstances that come into our life are all according to His sovereign will. That's important that we avoid and not believe that false idea. Another one that sometimes comes from this text, people might think that only the good circumstances in life help us. Only the good. Well, the context here of the all things, the context in this chapter, if you look back at verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of the present time." So the context is suffering. In verse 23, it talks about us groaning inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons. This world is filled with groaning. We talked about that last week. And then even looking further ahead in the text that's yet to come in our study is verse 35 when it talks about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. So the context here is suffering. The all things includes suffering. Suffering is miserable. It's miserable, and I don't wish it on you, and I don't wish it on myself. But suffering helps us grow. And this is why James tells us to count it pure. Do you know the next word? Count it pure joy. Count it pure joy when we encounter various trials, because we know that in trials we develop perseverance. And also in 1 Peter, rejoice. Rejoice, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. You see, God does use the tough times in our lives, but He uses those to bring good, to help us grow. And the all things does include tough times, but all things do work together, and it includes the good opportunities that we have to grow spiritually. Good opportunities. I mentioned earlier how Cedarville University was an opportunity that the Lord in His goodness directed my path to Cedarville, and it was there that I took advantage of those opportunities. And students, I didn't skip chapel all that much, okay? I didn't want to miss those opportunities. I wanted to be under the hearing of God's Word. Opportunities abundant for fellowship. We have those opportunities as a church body right here at Shawnee. Opportunities to read the Bible. You have a copy of the Scriptures in your lap. For all kinds of opportunities for instruction through podcast and online sermons. And of course, just opportunities for faithful, godly friends all along the way. So all things include the good like that and the bad like trials. Well, there's another false idea, not just that only the good circumstances in life help us, but another false idea is that the all things are good. You might read this text and think that this is communicating that the trial that I'm going through is good. Does the text of Scripture say that? No, it doesn't. It says all things God works for the good. For the good. He works it for good. He doesn't say all things are good. No. No. You see, the events in life, the trials are extremely difficult. And let's not think that this is telling us that trials and the sins done against us are good, because that's not true. No. It's God is able to work for the good of His people and for the purpose, even through bad things. After all, God was able to bring good from Joseph's trials. The kidnapping, the slavery, the false accusations, the wrongful imprisonment, the rejection. Were these things good in Joseph's lives? In Joseph's life, these things were not good. Yet, all these things, were all within God's plan. His sovereign will, so that Joseph's entire family, through these painful circumstances, would be saved. And you can read more about that on your own if you haven't already Genesis 37. How about the Apostle Paul? Did he have some bad things come into his life? Just to name a few. How about shipwrecks, beatings, imprisonment, murder attempts, temporary blindness, and more trials than any of us will ever endure? And yet, these were all within God's plan, His sovereign will, so that the gospel of Jesus might spread throughout the whole earth. So you see, God is the master crafter. He's crafting us and the circumstances of our life. And by the way, if He's the master crafter, what does that make us? What does that make us? Well, we are the unfinished project. We are a project. We are an unfinished project. And by the way, you'll notice a big question mark after me. Are you a part of his project is the question that we need to ask. You see, we know, the text says confidently, we know. Are you confident? Can you say, I know that he's at work in my life and circumstances? Do you realize you are an unfinished project? Are you able to say, like the old children's chorus, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be? It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving, patient he must be, because he's still working on me. Is he working on you? Is he working on you? Well, there's three characteristics of the type of people that God is working on. He's the master crafter, but the text tells us, and we know that for those who love God, those who love God. So do you love God this morning? You can know it. You can know you love God, but you have to understand that you need to know God before you can love God. You have to know that he exists and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. You have to know him. And it's not natural to us. My 2-year-old granddaughter, Sydney, does not know God. As a matter of fact, the natural man says, no one is righteous, not the natural man. No one understands and no one seeks God. That's who we are before we come to Christ. You see, sin separates us from God. We cannot love God without a change of heart. And that happens to those who believe that Jesus is the Christ. We have to start there. We have to be born of God. And scriptures tell us that everyone who loves the Father also loves whoever has been born of him. So another test to know if you love God is, do you love God's people? Do you love God's people? Anyone who says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. That's strong language. We can know we love God when we love the people that God knows and loves. And by the way, where does this love of God come from? Well, it first came from God, because the scriptures tell us we love because he first loved us. We have to understand that truth. So you need to take some evaluation. You need to take some time to evaluate your own heart and ask yourself, do you love God? Because the people that love God are his project, his unfinished project. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. And there's another quality or characteristic of the person that is the project. For those who are called according to his purpose. It's the call of God, God's call, whereby he draws sinful people like me into relationship with him. He calls us. And by the way, this was true in the Roman church that Paul is writing to here in the book of Romans, where it tells us in chapter 1 that those people were called to belong to Jesus Christ. That's the people in Rome, to those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Those who are called are those the ones the Lord calls to and draws them to himself. It's more than just an invitation, though. It's a summons to salvation. To the ones he calls, those people recognize his love for them, and they respond back with love to him. They respond in faith, trusting in his love and loving him. The call to salvation was God's plan from eternity past. And this amazing assurance comes to those whom he foreknew. And that's the third characteristic of the person that is an unfinished project. They love God, they've been called of God, and God foreknew them. He foreknew them. Now, this is more than just knowing ahead of time. That's included because God knows all things, past, present, and future. But to know someone in the Scriptures communicates intimacy. It communicates intimacy to know someone. God's foreknowledge was based and is based on his intentional choice to call people to himself. He chose to initiate a relationship with his people. And this is the message that Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1, where he says, he, God, chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he blessed us in the beloved. You see, this process of growth begins with salvation. We come to know him. It begins with salvation. And that growth continues with his work of forming us, as verse 29 says, into the image of Jesus Christ. In Christ, we must be confident that God's sovereign will is to call us into a relationship with himself. Understanding that he continues his work by preserving us in that relationship to our last earthly day and right on into eternity. So do you know that you have been called according to the foreknowledge of God? You see, a true understanding of this truth will lead us to love and trust the Lord's perfect purpose in our life. His perfect purpose. And that's verse 29, the rest of it. We've started 29, but it says, and he also predestined those people, predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among the brothers. You see, Jesus is our perfect template, the perfect template. Jesus is the perfect template. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. God's predetermined that we would become like Jesus. Jesus is our pattern. He's our example that we should become like him. But he's more than just an example to us. I want to be clear that Jesus is the perfect Son. He is the perfect Son. Jesus is God the Son, more than just a perfect template, but he is the perfect Son. And that's referred to when it says he might be the firstborn among the brothers. The resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus is the head of God's people who have been and are continuing to be purified from sin and have been prepared to live eternally in God's presence. Jesus, the firstborn. Now, in the room, we have some firstborns. I'm not a firstborn. But in ancient times, those who were the firstborn were superior to the others in the family. And likewise, the Lord Jesus has preeminence over his church. He is the head of the church. He is the highest position among all others. So do you look like a family member? Recently, I had to get my new driver's license, and they mailed it to me in the mail, my new one. And when I got my driver's license, I opened it, and I looked at it, and I said, why did they send me my father's driver's license? The resemblance between me and my father, and as much as I hate to say it, the resemblance between me and my brother. I don't like saying that, but it's there. We're part of the family. And it seems like the older I get, the more I look like my siblings. That's a dreadful thought. The more we mature in Christ, the more we should be looking like the Savior. We should look like Him increasingly. That's God's perfect plan, is that we would become more and more like Jesus. And this is a process. Actually, it's the Lord's complete process. And it's the message of verse 30 for us. We can see this process when it says, and those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. This is a chain of events that's taking place. It's the Lord's process. And it includes some links. You see, those whom he predestined, here's the first link, he also called. Now, we've already seen that word, same word, in verse 28. It's the same word that's used here in verse 30. He also called. We've already talked about this. He drew us into relationship with him. And by the way, I like the assurance that was communicated by Paul to the Philippian church. He told them, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you. It's God that began that work. That's the call. He begins that work when he calls us to himself. And he calls us, but not only does he call us to himself, but then he enables us to be able to come to him. That's the act of justification. It's the next link in the chain here. The call, and then comes, he also justified. It's God that makes us right with himself. He enables us. He enables us through justification. And this is possible only through Christ Jesus, who took the punishment of our sin, and he declares us righteous. We are freed from the debt of sin, and we are made right with God. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We saw that in verse 1 of chapter 8. He is the one who justifies. And we're going to see that again at the end of chapter 8 in verse 33. It is God who justifies. Folks, we can't make ourselves right with God. We can't do it. It's God's work. He calls us and he justifies us. And not only that, he also glorifies us. He also glorifies us. That's the last link that's referred to in this chain of events here in verse 30. It's the call, it's the justification, and lastly, it's the glorification. It's the final link. God's gracious act on our behalf means that we can be confident that God will complete his work, bringing us into glory. He's going to do that. And by the way, you might say, well, why does it say past tense? He also glorified. Did you notice that? Why is it past tense if yet it's future for me? Well, most likely it's past tense because of the certainty of it. It's certain that God will do this in our lives. And that's the back to Philippians chapter 1. It's He who began the good work. He is faithful and He will bring to completion. He will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. He will complete His work of making us like Christ. And by the way, on that day, no longer will we fall short of the glory of God. No longer. No more sin. No more sin. We will be like Him. Well, this is the process, and this is a very familiar verse of Scripture, but two takeaways for us today. We need to remember that we are in process. We are in process, and I don't know what difficulty He is using right now to conform you more and more into Jesus' image. What is He using? What is the all things in your life? I don't know what it is, but let's not waste, whether it's a trial or whether it's a good opportunity, let's not waste it. Let's use the all things in our lives to make us look a whole lot more like the Savior. We have many golden opportunities. Take advantage of them. Spend time in His Word. Study the Son of God. Get to know Him. And grow, because He's our perfect template, our perfect pattern. Read your Bible from cover to cover in 2024. That's how you get to know the Savior. Spend time in His Word. Can I tell you one more thing, though? I'm not the only one in process here. I'm not the only one that's an unfinished work. You are too. And sometimes we tend to rub each other wrong, and we need to be mindful that they are in process just like I am. I don't know who it is that's irritating you right now. I don't know who it is that's done you wrong. But those who love God love those God loves. Love the people around you, because they too are an unfinished project. Well, let's remember that He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving, patient He must be, because He's still working on me. Music team, why don't you come? And we're going to sing a closing song. We're not going to sing that children's chorus, even though some of you want to. I know it. But we are going to sing another song that speaks that cry of Him and the pain that we might be going through, that it might not be wasted, that Christ is using that pain to complete His work in me. If we can pray for you this morning during the singing, feel welcome to come, and we'll find someone to pray for you. And Father, we ask for Your help now to remind us of Your goodness, Your graciousness to complete Your work in our lives. What You've started, we're grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.